This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode 88, lucky for some. So today I'm joined by Jamie McBrien of Opti BPO. It is an Australian outfit, and it has a particularly excellent pedigree because of Jamie's own background himself. So I'll allow Jamie to introduce that. We will have Jamie back in the future where we'll deep dive further into his Opti BPO and really explore the USPs there and what it can add to people. But at the moment, it's an introductory chat. It's exploring Jamie's past and his thoughts on outsourcing and the evolution into his Opti BPO. So I'm sure you will enjoy this. If you want to get in touch with Jamie or get any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/88. Okay, so welcome back everyone to another episode of Outsource Accelerator. Today I'm excited to be joined by Jamie McBrien. Hi, Jamie.
Yeah, hi, how are you going?
Good, good. And I'll let you introduce yourself, but you have very briefly have a interesting background in management consulting with a lean towards outsourcing, and now own and have founded Opti BPO, which we'll hear all about. So, great to have you on the show. And can you, I suppose, introduce yourself and your initial journey to how you found yourself in outsource consulting?
Yeah, no, look, and thank you, and thanks for the introduction. I've been a management consultant, for better or worse, for my whole career, starting off at Price Waterhouse before they added Coopers back in the 90s, then joining Deloitte. Through my time at Deloitte, worked through a range of different functions, but ended up leading the shared services and outsourcing practice there, working with a range of medium to large Australian and New Zealand and global businesses in helping them around their shared services and outsourcing strategies, be that in country, offshore, or otherwise. So a range of different strategies through the 2000s, back when there was a whole lot of barriers to doing a whole lot of things. And really, it was only back then the focus of mainly the larger, either Australian or multinational businesses. From there, I left to a global consultancy, which didn't last too long before deciding to set up in 2008. My own consultancy called Optum 2 with a business partner. Optum 2 has always consulted on finance and back office process and efficiency. We've always built shared services. We've always helped clients outsource. And we've always done it to a variety of different locations across the world, be it the Philippines, Vietnam, China, India. Around 2013, 2014, we saw the world was shifting. We saw that things were getting easier to transfer, that technology was improving, and as was capability. And the more we thought about it, we just thought the Philippines was the place to focus in on. So we set up a separate business, Opti BPO. The intention of Opti BPO was to build a more productized offering where we provide the onshore support to create the offshore success. And by that, we help clients plan, build, and manage their offshore teams. So really, it's more of a consulting focus, working with people directly in country, be it Australia, New Zealand, and now the UK. We have an office in London to help them think about what they can achieve through offshoring, helping them get that plan right, making sure they have all the prerequisites in place, and then looking to actually build and transition those teams and then manage them on an ongoing basis to ensure success. Nice. So that's where we've come to.
Fantastic. And I mean, just to rewind right back there, when were you originally consulting about outsourcing? Were you right at the early stages of world outsourcing? Because I mean, the whole sector is only 20, 25 years old, really, isn't it, in any great scale?
Yeah, look, I joined Deloitte back in the late 90s. So back then, anything that was outsourced was really at the low data entry level, so the transactional repeatable level, and I've worked on it ever since. So I've been around the space for a good 20 years. I've been consulting for not much longer than 20 years. So you can probably guess about my age, yeah. But this has been the whole focus of my career. It's been great to see the evolution of it and to see it really, though, in the last 3 or 4 years to finally get to the potential we talk about now. And interestingly, not that long ago, I looked back on a presentation I gave in 2005, more of a sales presentation, and while the promise was there, the reality wasn't. A lot of those promises are now there, and they're definitely there. And so,
promises in terms of capabilities and outputs and quality standards?
Yeah, correct. Not that we were missing the mark back in 2005, but I guess the aspirations of where you could get to and where the world was going to has finally caught up to where some of that vision was.
So I think the ultimate in outsourcing is to have no perceivable difference in output or even operation of an outsourced entity. Yeah? I mean, if you're sort of tolerating aspects of the output, then it's always on a downside. Yeah. So I suppose the ultimate is actually just not knowing any different. Yeah.
Look, and we're the client that did what I think is a fantastic thing. I'm not too sure if it's the best approach to outsourcing, but they decided to run two teams for a while, one in Sydney and one in the Philippines. But what they did in the background, unbeknownst to the teams, was they measured each of those teams on a range of factors. And the CFO of that business said to me that on a Friday afternoon when he read the reports and the outsourced team was performing better than the local-based team, he knew that that's when he'd got it right, but he also knew that that's when he'd proven the point and that that the whole focus going forward for that part, that function of the business, would be an outsourced manner. And we often come up in our strategy planning sessions with our clients where they say to us, well, do we need to hire two people offshore for the one onshore? And I think there's maybe a potential, a little bit of cultural arrogance in that, but by the same token, it just takes people a little while to understand the fact that you're hiring people that are, you know, have done the same education as you, have read the same textbooks as you, have read the same Wikipedia articles as you, and the capability is absolutely a one-for-one. So once people get confidence in that, it's always interesting to see their attitudes change.
Fascinating. And so to give it some context, you have worked for blue chip management consultancies, effectively consulting for the higher end of outsourcing candidates and, you know, I assume talking in thousands of seats kind of thing. But how have you seen the evolution of outsourcing over the 20, 25 years? What are the sort of significant changes, both, I suppose, in infrastructure and output and quality and capabilities?
Yeah, well, look, the exciting thing for me is that, look, back in my Deloitte days, yeah, that was exactly where we're looking, the very big end of town. Opti BPO, and where we're focused now, is not that part of the world. I'll let Accenture and others have that part of the world. The exciting thing for me is that, you know, we're focused on the small to medium market, however you want to define that. But companies ranging in size, probably from, you know, 50 staff up to 2,000 staff, and maybe we want it to with 3,000 staff. But more that, you know, that small to medium market, that before it was difficult for them to see the benefit because the technology setup was expensive, the capability might have been there, and the number of lower-level tasks they want to do, which was the traditional focus of outsourcing, wasn't that large for them. However, now technology has improved. It's cheap. It's easy to provide access through the cloud to most applications. Those barriers have been removed. Capability has moved up market, which means that the transfer of knowledge is far easier, and it's provided access to that middle market, if you want to call it that. And that's the part that excites me now. While I might have started off at the big end of town, I've lost interest in that over the years, and I've unashamedly come back to focus on that small to middle-sized businesses and the opportunity for them, which is really the part that's really coming to the fore.
And outsourcing, you know, it started in the realm of these big multinational conglomerates and a little bit like hedge funds. You know, previously that was only accessible to the billionaires of the world, and then it got democratized and these things become more accessible and kind of trickle down. So outsourcing is more of a plug and play option now because of the infrastructure and the skill sets here in the Philippines. But how are you finding the general awareness of your sort of upper mid-level SMEs? Are they generally aware of outsourcing? Are they aware of the potential?
Yeah, look, Again, another interesting thing for me, if I compare Australia, our Sydney office with our London office, which I think is a good comparison to make, I think Australian businesses over the last 2 or 3 years, 3 or 4 years ago, I would have to take people through the how and the why of outsourcing, whereas now they just want to focus on the how rather than the why. So there seems to be a growing interest in this as a focus from Australian businesses. We're finding it a little bit different in the UK, where for some reason we're having to do a whole lot more of explaining the why. And I think that partly comes down to the fact that Australia is a small, isolated country with a smaller population. Mm. And so we have no choice but to think about these strategies. But as well as that, I think we just have a whole lot more exposure to some of these opportunities than others. So look, there's growing exposure, there's people that are getting onto it, there's people that are thinking about it, there's a long way to go. There's still a lot of people that need to be convinced that it's a good idea. So I think that, while I don't think we're at the bleeding edge of this market, I think we're definitely not at maturity. So big opportunity on the upside for a lot of businesses.
And what do you feel the main apprehensions of businesses are then, and how many of them are kind of internally operational kind of concerns, and how many of them are actually, I care for job loss and you know, the concern that jobs will go offshore?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of the apprehension now is coming down to concerns around the risk of getting this right. We have clients that are always concerned about the customer interface. You know, what if our customers realize that this is what we are doing? Yeah. And where does that go? The loss of jobs piece, for me, seems to be reducing, I think, over the last couple of years, that apprehension. You know, unemployment's not rising in Australia or the UK, or if it is, it's only small. Mm. Same in the Philippines. And when you talk through most people, they realize that this is an opportunity for growth. I have one client who told me straight out that his business was looking pretty shaky into the future, and through a outsourcing strategy over time of building 20, 30 people focused on a range of areas, he said he was able to turn it around. He now has a bigger business here in Australia that includes more employees, more successful, more profitable, and going forward. So I think there's a bit of sustainability in there, and I think organizations are realizing that to survive, you need to do things in a cost-sustainable way. And for a lot of businesses, you know, the idea of holding on to some of those traditional values and ideas probably isn't going to end them in the right place.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Outsource Accelerator, you know, we, to generate traffic, we advertise through Facebook and adverts, and we promote outsourcing, and we actually get comments from certain non-plus people that we are terrorists and, you know, we're traitors, and it certainly can be quite an emotive topic if you target the wrong kind of demographic potentially. But and it's kind of ironic as well, isn't it, that Australia has, because it is a isolated island and it can control, has, you know, very stiff border control and migrational controls, that there is a very high base salary and a very high salary and a limited pool of workers in Australia. But then ironically, because of that sort of, I'm not getting political, but protectionist stance, maybe more people are outsourcing because it's the kind of release valve, because people want to expand their businesses, find cheaper resources, and want to grow. Yeah,
look, and we've got a number of clients, and I know you and I have spoken about this previously, directly to each other, that they see outsourcing as an opportunity to grow a resource base that they couldn't otherwise, that will help accelerate their business. When you're looking to build teams, be it upfront quoting and estimating, other work like that, you're capacity constrained. And in Australia, where salaries are high, you sit there and you say to yourself, well, if I'm going to put on someone on $120,000 a year, $150,000 a year, they need to have a broad set of capability. And you need to take a deep breath as you make that decision and you bring on that additional resource, which means that person needs to be good at doing the lower level stuff and the higher strategic activities. Now, whereas when you look at the outsourcing market, you can say to yourself, well, I'd like to get a sales support team that drives forth our sales strategy, or I'd like to build another support team that drives forward our HR strategy or our marketing and other bits and pieces that you could otherwise just absolutely not justify here. So while the like-for-like replacement is easy to sit here and say that's the one that takes jobs when we replace one person with another person out there, that's only a small part of what our clients do. You know, the other two big strategies for me are, you know, transforming the way we do things so we can do more and we can do it better, which is some of the things I just talked about, or adding new and enhanced services. And we have a range of clients that built new revenue lines that they just couldn't justify building here through using an outsourced team.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, one of our catch lines is save 70%, but it's not just about saving the 70%, it's about the innovation and growth that you can add to your business. And in Australia, when a salary is very commonly $120,000 a year, then it makes attempting growth very lumpy and very risky and very concerning, doesn't it? Whereas if you can test things,
yeah,
test
you're
various models, then there's huge opportunity for that growth and optimization and kind of exploring opportunities.
Yeah, look, absolutely. We have a, you know, I think a critical prerequisite, if I use our own business as an example, a critical prerequisite, I think, to get outsourcing right is to have really well-documented, detailed, standard operating procedures. The idea of getting a consultant in Australia to build that for you at $1,500 a day or even $800 a day can negate even the whole offshoring strategy. And we have this is a service that we build for ourselves. We have a service where we build standard operating procedures through a combination of tools and capture techniques that then get built in the Philippines. We're able to offer that service to our clients at a level that's palatable for them, that they'd never pay me to write them for them. Mm. They just go, well, I'm not gonna pay your rate to do that. It's palatable for them. It gets them to where they need to be, and it helps support our success in making sure that clients are offshore ready. And they're the sort of things that, well, that's our example. We have lots of clients that have come up with their own new processes, their own new support areas that they're able to offer their clients at the right price point. That means that they've got a customer that's more locked in with them.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? We're actually writing a white paper at the moment on outsourcing being a win-win, because we feel if we take this to the West, we've got to have an argument that we're not just, you know, raping and pillaging all of your jobs. It's actually a win-win. And it's fascinating to hear all of these specific examples of where it is winning, and the community benefits and the government benefits and all of the stakeholders. It's it really is, if growth and expansion is so expensive, like, you know, if you have to get a consultant for $2,000 a day just to try and grow, then things will stagnate, won't they? Because people will just stay put. They won't grow. They'll just sort of sit on their hands, because you can't have a highly, highly risky growth opportunity, because then it kind of mitigates out the benefits. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, and while I would discourage anyone from being too scattergun about it, one of the nice things with outsourcing is that you can pilot ideas, start small, gain confidence, and build success. If I use ourselves again as the example, our procedural documentation service, which we kicked off 2 years ago. It started on the basis that we thought it was a good idea. We found someone. We said, well, why don't you start next week? Let's see how it goes. And we just told them up front, if in 3 to 6 months it hasn't proven successful, we're going to step back from it. But we'll know pretty quickly whether we have. You know, the financial exposure in us making that decision, you know, wasn't that worrisome. You know, the bigger exposure or bigger concern for me, rather than the outgoings and the cost in setting that up, was actually making sure that we won enough work to funnel through there, because we wanted to be successful. So rather than, you know, whereas when we've hired consultants in Australia, each time you take a deep breath, you hope they work out, you hope they're fantastic, and your concern is more on their delivery and their performance rather than your ability to get out there and actually just generate the work for them.
Yeah, the stakes are so much higher, and you have many more sleepless nights on any kind of progressive business decision. Anyway, fantastic. No, it's been great insight, Jamie. And I want to get you back, and so we can actually dig a little bit deeper into your BPO consultancies. But in the meantime, how can people get in touch with you if they want to extend a conversation?
Yeah, look, yeah, great. Look, my email address is Jamie, so JAMIE Dot McBrien, M-C-B-R-I-E-N, at optibpo.com. Our website's www.optibpo.com as well.
Fantastic, and we'll have all of that in the show notes anyway, but thank you very much for your time and insights, Jim.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that. That was Jamie McBrien of OptiBPO. If you want to get in touch with Jamie or want to know anything about the show notes, any links, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/88. And if you want to ask us anything, anything at all, then just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.